Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie. And I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening. Love is more than a day on the calendar or a sign-off on a letter. Love starts with you. Show off your personal style with new Pandora jewelry pieces that radiate with your love from every angle. With Pandora's vast selection of rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and charms, there's endless ways to show what's in your heart. Write a love note to yourself or your best friend with handwritten charms or a personal engraving. Shop now at Pandora.net. Pandora, be love. There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car. But only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need. No matter where you are in life, when you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm sure you've already noticed, but we have released two episodes today. Two separate cases that both have limited information, but we couldn't let that stop us from telling you their stories. Our hope is by releasing these episodes, listeners from both areas will recall information that helps fill in the gaps for investigators and ultimately allows the truth to what really happened to each of these two women come to light. Our first card this week is Renee Rosita Harris, the King of Spades from Florida. In the spring of 2000, a 24-year-old woman was found floating in a Citrus County, Florida canal. Though answers have eluded authorities for more than two decades, a present-day sergeant is hoping that putting her story in the spotlight may help reveal the truth. I'm Ashley Flowers, and this is The Deck. A fisherman and his family were up before the crack of dawn on May 20th, 2000. They were going to spend some quality time together shore fishing at the Cross Florida Barge Canal in Crystal River, a popular spot in Central Florida, which I actually believe has been renamed the Marjorie Harris Carr Cross Florida Greenway. But either way, it's a popular spot to fish on Saturdays. They were some of the first ones there, walking along the bank just as the sun was rising. But before their lines were even in the water, their day was upended.
They noticed what looked like a body floating in the water and then immediately notified law enforcement.
That's Sergeant Chris Holloway with the Citrus County Sheriff's Office. He's very familiar with this canal. Used to take his own kids fishing there too, in fact.
I imagine it scared them, and then they had, I think, a child with them as well.
It was either members of the Coast Guard or the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission who flocked to the scene that day. It's a little unclear which, though, because they both would have had patrols stationed nearby, followed in short order by the sheriff's deputies. After securing the crime scene, the agencies worked together to recover the unknown woman's body, which wasn't easy because of the terrain.
It's very hard up an embankment to collect a body off the side. You take a chance of damaging evidence. So it's a lot easier on this type of case to put the body in a bag and then transfer it to a boat so you preserve as much evidence as possible. It is the Gulf, so we do have tides that come in and out. So it's the body, I believe, at the time they were able to get it. It was near shore.
Upon first look, it didn't seem like the woman had been in the water very long. And there weren't obvious signs that could clue them into exactly how she may have died, like no blatant signs of trauma visible to the average eye. Now, since the woman was found nude, we wondered if there were any other identifying factors, like jewelry or something, found on or with her. But our reporting team asked Sergeant Holloway, and he said he couldn't discuss it. At the time, there weren't any reports of missing local women in their jurisdiction, so Citrus County authorities were going to have to branch further out to try and see if any neighboring counties knew who she was. And in the meantime, that left other investigators at the site of the canal to check for any potential evidence along the shoreline. But unfortunately, nothing stuck out as clearly being related to this particular woman. Just random things here and there that could be litter or could be evidence. There's only one way to find out, right? So to do their due diligence, they pretty much grabbed anything and everything they could find just in case.
It is an area where people populate or people go to fish. So we found quite a bit of evidence, but you just don't know what part is evidence that's relevant or evidence that it's just trash. Because it's in a body of water, it's the Gulf of Mexico, so what stuff floated up that was there had nothing to do with it, you just don't know. So you try to collect everything you can because you don't know what you don't know at the time.
They didn't know a lot. I mean, how she even got to this spot in the water was a mystery.
Did she jump off a bridge as a possible suicide? Did she come from up further up the canal? Did she come from the Gulf of Mexico, dumped off a boat? You have no idea. So they're trying to figure all that out.
Since she was discovered so early in the morning, they were able to get her body over to the medical examiner's office to conduct an autopsy that same day. Medical examiners ruled the death a homicide after finding the cause to be blunt force trauma and drowning. Sergeant Holloway said he didn't want to publicize anything else, like what she was likely killed with or where she had been hit. I mean, really, it's unclear if they even have those answers today. But here's what Sergeant Holloway would say when we asked if a sexual assault kit was ordered.
In almost all homicide cases with females, even males as well, will still do an exam or request it. It's done by the medical examiner's office. So we always get those regardless, because since we don't know what happened at the time, even if they were thrown in the water, we still do the exam. We're still able to recover evidence that way.
But what, if anything, they found, Sergeant Holloway wouldn't say. And he's being equally tight-lipped about all the items that they collected at the scene. He said that they sent them off for testing, but that's all we could get. The autopsy did bring about one big answer. I know that for sure. Using her fingerprints, they got a hit for an Ocala woman with records out of Marion County, Florida, about an hour northeast of Citrus County. Their victim was 24-year-old Renee Rosita Harris. Renee's prints were in the system because she'd been arrested recently for charges related to sex work. Now, there was no missing persons report filed for Renee anywhere, which could have simply been the result of timing. I mean, considering it didn't look like she'd been in the water for too long, she was probably found before anyone even realized that she was gone. I don't know what Renee's mom, Mildred, said or thought when she found out about her daughter's death. Sergeant Holloway didn't know much about how that conversation went down between her and the detectives. But reports indicate that those who knew Renee had some nice things to say about her.
She was very smart in school, outgoing, nice person.
After looking over her recent criminal record from Marion County, police immediately wanted to talk to anyone who knew Renee from her job as a sex worker. But because she didn't have any real ties to where she was found in Citrus County, tracking down her friends, her clients, her associates, all of that was really difficult. I mean, where she lived, worked, and hung out were all about 45 minutes to an hour away from Crystal River.
We had to rely on other agencies to help us out quite a bit, which they're always willing to do, but it puts a hamper on what they're doing as well, because they have their own investigations going on, and they have their own stuff going on in their county. So we're having to rely on them to help us out quite a bit, because we don't even know the players up there. So we can go up there and interview people, but we don't know who we're interviewing. So if you work in that county, you'll know who those people are. You'll know if they're telling you the truth. You'll know who to go to next or who would be the person that would know what have happened.
It took a few trips over to Marion County and help from other agencies, but they did eventually start to put some of the pieces together. Like the fact that although there was a house that Renee often stayed at, she was more recently known to spend a lot of time at the Town Plaza and then a few other motels / hotels in Ocala.
So we had to go to every one of those areas because you don't know where, we don't know if she was picked up and that's what did it. We had to check anybody that sold her drugs, anywhere she sold drugs to or traded off drugs for sex.
Along with passing out flyers to try and spread the word about Renee's murder far and wide within the community, law enforcement also announced a reward in an effort to get more information flowing. And it must have worked, because they got a witness to come forward who could help narrow down the time of Renee's death.
Busy parents have enough on their plates without adding your children's homework to the list as well. IXL is an excellent resource for homework help, which is especially nice for parents who are rusty on school info themselves. And methods have changed over the years, too. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. And you get one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. There's a reason why IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. From studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. If your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment you can make. A month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring, so now you could get your child the help they need at an affordable price. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And the DEC listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/DEC. Visit IXL.com/DEC to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. I can remember sitting in my high school Spanish class, looking down at the ground, just hoping, desperately hoping, I wouldn't get called on. Because languages have never come easy for me. And even after all those years of studying in school, I felt so insecure. Then as my husband and I started exploring international travel recently, he convinced me that it was time to give language another try. So naturally, we found Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, and they have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on how well you're pronouncing your words. As my family continues to explore future travel, I know I'm going to take advantage of that because I want to feel as confident and respectful as possible. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the DEC listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/DEC. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/DEC today.
A woman that Renee worked with came forward and said that she'd last seen Renee the night before her body was found at the town plaza in Ocala at around 11:30 p.m. And that really helped narrow the timeline down for investigators, because if she was found the next morning in the canal around 6:30 in the morning, that's about a 7-hour window for her to be killed. The problem was the town plaza was full of transient people, many of whom pay by the hour, not day. So despite their best efforts, they couldn't track down any other witnesses who could help them figure out if Renee had been seen after 11:30 or who she might have been with. And trying to get physical evidence from the motel was just as fruitless. It seemed like Renee had been in and out of several different rooms, even sharing them with people at times. So there wasn't one specific location where she was known to last be. And who knows who had been in and out of there since. But even though they couldn't narrow their 7-hour window down, they were able to piece together a lot more of Renee's movements leading up to that night. And that was helpful.
We were able to locate some of our, what we thought were suspects, or still continue to think are suspects, and backtrack where she was all the way even to several nights. We'll sometimes even go back 2 or 3 weeks prior. Maybe she only sees them once a month. So we have to go back quite a bit to see her whole history.
The type of clients she tended to spend the most time with, according to Sergeant Holloway, were middle-aged, working white men. So they wanted to track down men who fit that description and who she'd seen within the last several weeks or so.
Or one she was scared of that may have been rough with her at one time or another. You don't want to be tunnel vision into any just one person, say, oh, this guy likes to choke women, so he must have killed her. This guy likes to beat women, so he must have killed her. The investigators have to look at all of that, because since we don't know who she was with last, we don't have a logbook of what she's got next or what's coming up.
There was, however, one client whose name kept coming up amongst the other sex workers that they were speaking with, because according to Sergeant Holloway, he was known to abuse women.
So a lot of them were scared of even going on a date with him, would not even go out with him, and would not get in the car with him. So that was one of the suspects we were looking at.
When that man, who we'll call Jasper, was interviewed shortly after popping up on police's radar, he did own up to having slept with Renee in the past. But he wouldn't admit to ever being violent with her. Though investigators seemed to be focusing in on Jasper, it was also crucial they find out who else she had contact with that day. Whether they were clients or people who had sold Renee drugs, detectives were looking at a total of 5 or 6 different men who looked good for the crime. including two men who may have had dates with her the day that she was last seen alive, one around 4 p.m. and then the other around 6. Sergeant Holloway says that of that group of five or six men, he believes that there are a few who stand out above the rest as more viable suspects.
Availability, your motive, and ability to do it, and lifestyle.
These men were questioned several times during the first months of the investigation, but eventually things went quiet.
It was actually fairly quick for that type of case because you got that so many people to talk to, but nobody really comes forward. They don't really come forward and say, hey, I know she told me this. They don't come back and talk to us. They don't like talking to law enforcement, and they just feel like they're moving on and doing their own thing, even though Renee's mom is not.
But in the fall of 2000, 5 months after Renee's murder, detectives zeroed in on one of Renee's clients, a man already in custody on another unrelated charge. Not only were they questioning him, but a grand jury was being called. Sergeant Holloway wouldn't reveal any suspect names during our interview, but we were able to find this one guy while doing our own research on Renee's case. According to reporting in the Tampa Bay Times published on October 11th of 2000, police had interviewed a man named Bruce Midkiff, who not only admitted to paying Renee for sex the night she disappeared, but also admitted to smoking crack cocaine with her. Here's a voice actor reading part of that Tampa Bay Times article, written by Jim Ross.
Citrus law officers who are investigating the death of Renee Rosita Harris have interviewed a Marion County man, although they won't say whether they consider him a suspect. The man whom authorities questioned, Bruce Midkiff, 23, is serving a six-month sentence at the Marion County Jail for grand theft and burglary, court records showed. His lawyer in past cases, Assistant Public Defender Bill Miller of Ocala, declined to comment Tuesday. Midkiff, who also has admitted a drug problem, has been in and out of jail during the past few years. His record includes arrests on charges of battery, domestic violence, burglary, and grand theft. Court records did not indicate how Citrus County authorities identified Midkiff as a witness who might have relevant information about the homicide. Several times during that interview, Midkiff said he gave Harris $30 that she used to buy crack cocaine May 19th. They smoked the cocaine together, and he later paid her $20 for intercourse, according to a report that Citrus investigator Ken Perez prepared.
When we confronted Sergeant Holloway with this information, he did confirm that Bruce Midkiff was one of the clients detectives spoke to back then. We tried pushing for more answers, but all he would say is that they were looking at him back then and that today he still can't be ruled out. What the article doesn't say is what time Bruce Midkiff and Renee were together on May 19th. I mean, it does go on to say that Bruce denied involvement in Renee's murder, but it doesn't say if he provided any kind of alibi for later that night or in the early morning hours the next day. The article also mentions one other detail that I found relevant. It said that the autopsy on Renee's remains showed that she had been dead less than 12 hours, which would put her time of death close to when she was likely with that last client. Now, from what I can tell in newspaper archives, Bruce Midkiff served some time in jail, but not for anything related to Renee's murder. Now, what I'd love to know is if Bruce Midkiff or any of the other unnamed clients of Renee's who were interviewed had any ties to Citrus County, or if any of them liked to fish in their free time. Because in the year 2000, how else would you know about this canal that's like an hour away? Or is it possible they tossed Renee in elsewhere and then she drifted close to the canal bank? Unfortunately, any connection between a potential suspect and the canal still remains a mystery.
It's a huge corridor. It's on 19. It could have been a random dump site. They could have been just driving around, and it's not, I guess you'd call it desolate. It's so middle of the night, that place would be almost no traffic. On 19, there'd be traffic, but if you go off to where they go fishing, almost probably nobody out there. So if you just want to go down there, it's a good place because there's very few people down there.
Sergeant Holloway has a loose theory about what may have happened to Renee that night.
Motive's probably, my guess, it's either two of them. You either got one who likes beating women, could be a serial killer or whatever, or she owed somebody money.
Sergeant Holloway wouldn't elaborate, but when our reporter Madison asked if he thought this crime may have been planned, he did say yes. He also said there's a chance that a second person may have been involved, maybe at least with covering up the murder or getting rid of Renee's body.
Anybody that knew who was with her the night of the 19th, anybody that may have threatened her, anybody she may have owed money to, anybody she was deathly scared of or would not get in a car with, even somebody she would have got a car with. Obviously, she somehow got transported from Marion County to Citrus County, so anybody that would have information on that, whether if they told us a lie in the past, we'd still like to hear any new tips, or if you want to recant what you said before and come up with what actually happened or what you recall, because now you're no longer in fear.
Sergeant Holloway said he doesn't think anyone has been questioned in Renee's case, at least within the last 5 years or so. But he's hoping that this time around, someone who knows something will be more willing to come forward and talk to law enforcement.
We're looking to solve the case for her, to find out who killed her, to put that person in jail. We're not looking to judge you for what you did in the past. We never judge anybody for what they do. Their lifestyles, their choices, they had. There's a reason why they're at where they're at, either by their choice or by circumstance. So we don't judge them for that. Everybody's got their bad choices they made in life. Even if you told a lie back then, come back and tell us what really happened. We're not going to say, oh, we're going to arrest you now for lying to us in the past. We're not about that. We're looking at what caused the death of Renee Harris, to get closure for her, get closure for her family. And the why is even second to that, because if they just knew who did it, they at least know who to forgive if they choose to forgive them. And then they can sleep a lot better at night because they know. It's not knowing is what usually causes people not to sleep.
We tried reaching out to Renee's mother for this episode, but we weren't able to track her down. And the numbers we found were all disconnected. So I'm not qualified to speak for her. But I will say this. Renee didn't deserve what happened to her. She was figuring out her life just like every 20-something-year-old woman does. And she was getting by the best way she knew how. And you know what's really sad? If you Google her name, only a few old articles pop up. And most of them are just two-sentence briefs in those cold case roundup type stories. And it doesn't sound like any real investigative work had been done in Renee's case in years. Maybe detectives are waiting on the call that breaks the case open. So if you know anything about the murder of Renee Rosita Harris, you can call the Citrus County Sheriff's Office at 352-249-2790 and ask for the Major Crimes Unit. Or you can call 1-800-ANY-TIPS if you wish to remain anonymous. The Deck is an AudioChuck production with theme music by Ryan Lewis. To learn more about The Deck and our advocacy work, visit thedeckpodcast.com. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.